Sports Weekend All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Our friend in Abuja, Samson Omale, joins us now with a spicy selection of sports stories making headlines in Africa this weekend. And Samson says he'll be kicking off with a Ghanaian football coach. Sporty Friday evening greeting, Samson.
Sporty Friday evening to you, Sonny, and welcome to the wrap of some of the major headlines from the African continent for this weekend. Kwesi Appiah, head coach of Ghana national team, the Black Stars, is set to extend his contract ahead of the African Cup of Nations 2019. Head of the Normalization Committee of Ghana Football Association, Kofi Amoah, said it is only proper to negotiate contract extension of Kwesi Appiah ahead of the June 2019 AFCON since his current deal expires in April 2019.
Earlier on, when the contract of the Black Stars was given, the AFCON was supposed to be February, I believe. So his contract, the one existing now, ends in April, but the AFCON is in June. So obviously, we need to look at something and extend it so that there's some certainty of having the technical team to take our blasters to win the cup. So we have not finalized it, but I think there's a consensus between the FA and the Minister of Sports that some extension will be given to the Blasters coach.
Kwesi Appiah was talked to win AFCON 2019 after signing a two-year contract with the Ghana Football Association in 2017. And now to neighbors Nigeria, where Nigeria's sports minister Solomon Dalung says the country is considering building a high-performance sports medicine center. The minister said plans are already on the way to acquire some equipment that would be needed to make the center functional.
As a leading country in Africa, we do not have a national high-performance center. And in contemporary sports, without a high-performance center, you cannot make much progress. We must take steps to begin to acquire some of these very important equipments that we need them to key into modern sports science.
Staying with Nigeria, the Nigerian Football Federation, NFF, on Thursday said it has put in place plans to provide the Super Falcons, the Nigeria women national team, with better preparations for the 8th FIFA Women's World Cup finals. The federation had made plans for the African champions to participate in about 10 matches altogether. The preparation begins with a four-nation invitational tournament in China from January 17th to January 20th, which will be followed by the girls' participation in the Cyprus Women's Cup, billed for February 25th to March the 7th. Asishat Oshola is a Super Falcons forward.
We're young players and we don't think we have enough yet. We still strive for more glory. We have players from the under-20s of 2010 set, 2012 set, 2014 set, 2016 set. So when you have a young squad like this, it's always easy for the coaches to work because the zeal is already there, the hunger for glory is already there.
Egypt's national handball team will be hoping to perform better than their 2017 appearance when they open their World Championship campaign on Friday. The Pharaohs reached the round of 16 2 years ago before losing to Croatia 19-21 in a tight clash. The Egyptian team has a right to dream of more success this time given the good preparations the team has been undertaking. Egypt were drawn in Group D alongside Sweden, Qatar, Argentina, Hungary and Angola. David Davis is the head coach of Egypt's national handball team.
I think the team is ready. We need to see. We are only working 5 months. And probably it's not time enough. But we're going to fight there until the end. We have a good systematics. We are fighting good. We are training really good. I'm really satisfied. And we'll see how it goes. The championship is so long.
In cricket news, standing South African cricket captain Dean Elgar said on Thursday he had given a blunt message to his players ahead of the third and final test match against Pakistan starting at the Wanderers Stadium on Friday. He also hinted that South Africa will again opt to play four fast bowlers on the pitch, which has usually favoured them.
I think that's a big message that I put out towards our squad yesterday. I mentioned the fact that even though we've got the series in the bag, we've been in that position before and we've let it slip. We let it slip here against India, which actually hurt quite a lot. And hopefully that's a learning experience for all of us. So my message to our squad yesterday was quite blunt and quite straightforward of if there's any complacency within our camp, we need to iron that crease out right now. Because we've got a massive goal as a side. We want to win 3-0. We want to win the summer 5-0 with the two tests we have against Sri Lanka. And being at home, it's a massive advantage for us.
And finally, in golf news, the third edition of Uganda's most exciting golf tournament, the Singleton Challenge, is back in its third season this weekend, following a successful 2018 edition, which ended with the first ever ladies pair of Sheila Kisimi and Piers Kabasueka winning the ultimate prize. Rita Appel is Entebbe Golf Club lady captain.
When the players play match day, usually to make the game faster, we advise that they don't hole out if you have lost the hole. But then we also encourage individual players in that they can hole out and the scores are submitted at the end.
And that's the wrap on some of the major headlines around some major sporting events around the African continent this weekend. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. It's back to you, Sonny, in Washington.
Thanks, Samson, and I hope you have a sporty weekend. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
The National Basketball Association has opened an elite academy in Senegal to provide academic education to African youth while also training them for potential basketball careers. The NBA is partnering with Seed Academy, a basketball and education center that's been in Senegal for years. Joe Lopez is the president of Seed Academy. In an interview with Ricky Shryock, Joe said the goal is not only to help African youth improve their basketball prospects abroad, but also to increase the sport's presence in Africa.
We've helped a lot of kids go through the program. They ended up in the U.S. Some of them ended up in Europe. Some of them ended up in Asia. Our most prominent alumni is Golden C. Jang, who is a Minnesota Timberwolves player. He plays in the NBA. He's been there, I believe, 5 years, and he's doing quite well for himself.
How important is it not just to train African youth to play in the NBA in North America, but also to increase NBA's presence in Africa?
Well, that's a very good question. The NBA Academy is also an elite academy for basketball, but it is for the entire continent of Africa. One thing I failed to mention is Seed initially was just for Senegalese players, girls and boys, right? Now, the NBA Academy is a bigger academy because it takes care of all the kids from the continent. And again, it's education first and sports second. We have found synergies today where the Seed program serves as a feeder program to the NBA Academy, which means some of the kids from Seed will end up at the academy in Sali. And I just want to stress the fact that a very small percentage of these kids will end up playing professionally. So what we're doing today is we're ensuring that they're giving back to their communities, they're staying in on the continent, if they don't make it somewhere else, and it's okay, you know, because we would have trained them enough to have high school diplomas and some college degrees, because they can go to college in Senegal. Not everybody who goes to our program end up in the United States or in Europe. And that's my point of emphasis. I tell the kids, this is not a guarantee that you're going to the U.S. or to Europe. This is a guarantee that you're going to get an education. And along the way, you might become a good basketball player.
What are your main challenges as an organization working with young people from all over the region?
Challenges we do have. Our biggest challenge is, first of all, finding good students and then good athletes. You know, usually they don't go hand in hand. Usually you find a good student, not so good athletes. Sometimes you find a very good athlete, not a good student. So we have to have a balance in what we do, dance approach. And today we do a pretty good job recruiting kids. We also have economic challenges because we are a nonprofit organization. And also we have all the challenges because some of these kids come from different backgrounds and some of them require different type of evaluation.
That's Joe Lopez, the president of Seed Academy, a basketball and education center in Senegal. And Joe spoke with Ricky Shryock from Dakar, Senegal. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In NBA action Thursday night, there was a Texas shootout in San Antonio, where the San Antonio Spurs and the Oklahoma City Thunder combined for more than 300 points. The Spurs won in double overtime after a career-high scoring performance from their all-star center. The AP's Roy Flores reports from San Antonio, Texas.
LaMarcus Aldridge scored a career-high 56 points, and the Spurs outlasted Oklahoma City 154-147 in double overtime Thursday night. The Thunder dropped its third straight despite a triple-double from Russell Westbrook, who had 24 points, 13 rebounds, and 24 assists.
I do other things that impact winning, impact the team, and I feel like I'm the best at all those other things. So I do it every night.
Aldridge kept asking for the ball and muscled his way in the paint, scoring 13 in the two extra periods.
Body language is like, let me get it or whatever. I feel like I had a good matchup. I feel like I was in a good rhythm down there.
San Antonio put on a three-point clinic, nailing its first 14 three-pointers and finishing 16 of 19 from beyond the arc. Roy Flores, San Antonio.
Thanks, Roy. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Now let's go to Colorado, where the host Denver Nuggets got another triple-double from their 23-year-old Serbian center to cruise past the Los Angeles Clippers. The AP's Mike Reeves reports from Denver.
Nikola Jokic records his 21st career triple-double to lead the Nuggets to a 121-100 win over the Clippers in Denver. The 7-foot sitter scores 18 points, hauls in 14 rebounds, and dishes out 10 assists as the Nuggets improved their record to a Western Conference best 28-12. Denver is led in scoring by Jamal Murray, who nets 23 points. The Nuggets have won 7 of their last 8. The Clippers are led by 19 points off the bench from Lou Williams. LA remains in second place in the Pacific Division, 3 games behind front-running Golden State. I'm Mike Reeves.
Thanks, Mike. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Mike mentioned Nikola Jokic getting another triple-double. Jokic is currently in 7th place among Western Conference frontcourt players in voting for next month's All-Star Game by NBA fans. Dallas's 19-year-old Slovenian rookie, Luka Doncic, is in 2nd place in the All-Star voting. The fan vote counts for 50% of the balloting to determine the starters. Commenting about Jokic and Doncic and their All-Star bids, Denver's head coach Michael Malone quipped, "Obviously, a lot of fans in Slovenia are voting, and not enough fans in Serbia are voting." The annual NBA All-Star Game will be played February 17th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Meanwhile, 12-time NBA All-Star Dwayne Wade of the Miami Heat scored 8 of his 19 points in the third quarter Thursday night to help the Heat beat the visiting Boston Celtics 115-99. Josh Richardson added 18 points for Miami, which set season highs with 33 assists and 18 three-point baskets from beyond the arc. Miami evened its record at 20 wins and 20 losses, while Boston now has a record of 25 victories and 16 defeats. In one more NBA result Thursday night, the Sacramento Kings defeated the visiting Detroit Pistons 112-102. The Kings got good balanced scoring. 7 players scored at least 10 points or more, with guard Buddy Hield leading the way with 18 points. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Let's take a break now for these VOA programming announcements.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Savor the flavor of African music. Hi, I'm Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Tune in, feast your ears, and dig in to an hour of amazing Pan-African music, featured interviews, and music news. Music Time in Africa, Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. I'm looking forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I encourage our VOA listeners to check out The Sunny Side of Sports blog. The address is blogs.voanews.com/sunny. Once again, that address, blogs.voanews.com/sunny. My latest blog post is titled Egyptian King of African Football, Mohamed Salah. And I write about the Egypt and Liverpool star who won his second consecutive African Footballer of the Year award earlier this week in Dakar, Senegal. Salah spoke with reporters after winning the trophy at the annual Confederation of African Football Awards ceremony. Mo said his success in 2018 came after a lot of hard work as well as pressure.
I always do my best to perform better. I always see myself in a better position. I know it's always difficult when you win an award like African Player of the Year. Like last year, it was like too much pressure after I won it. Everyone say he's not going to win it again. So I put in my mind that I have to be here again this year. So I'm happy to win it second time. And yeah, I'm very proud about that. I'm not complaining about the position, but something just push me more to work hard as much as I can to be again here next year.
This year, 2019, Mo Salah is experiencing more success on the pitch. His club, Liverpool, is currently at the top of the English Premier League standings with 54 points from 21 matches. That puts the Reds of Liverpool 4 points ahead of defending champion Manchester City. In Dakar, Mo Salah said while he's very happy to win the African Footballer of the Year award a second time, he would love to lift the African Nations Cup later this year in Egypt.
Honestly, I'm very happy to win it for the second time. And, you know, I said before, even I said in a speech there, like, when I was young, I always had a dream to win this award. Now I won it twice, so I'm happy about that. But really, I would love to win the African Nation in Egypt, especially when you play in home and with your people, and everyone is very excited. So we will do our best to win it in Egypt.
Egypt was awarded the hosting rights to the 2019 Africa Cup of Nations tournament just a few hours before Mo Salah was named the 2018 African Footballer of the Year. Egypt replaces Cameroon, which was stripped of hosting rights in late November because of slow preparations and concerns about security. Africa's premier football tournament is scheduled from June 15th to July 13th, and it will be the first Nations Cup to feature 24 teams. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. My VOA colleague, Gwen Uten, joins us now with a unique cycling story from Uganda. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Cycling enthusiast, this story is for you. A Ugandan entrepreneur named Nordin Kasoma has found a way to make bicycles cheaper and sturdier than conventional bikes made out of steel and aluminum. Nordin has found a way to replace broken bikes with new frames made out of bamboo. He says he likes to work with bamboo because it's easy to find, it grows fast, and can be used sustainably. And Nordin says bamboo bikes are a great way to travel.
When it comes to the bamboo bicycle and riding, especially on the off-roads, it's really comfortable. One, bamboo is flexible. Due to that flexibility, it gives that kind of shock-absorbing property. When you're riding, especially on the off-roads, the bamboo itself tries to absorb the shocks that you're passing through, other than steel or aluminium.
Nordin honed his bike-making skills with an American bike frame designer and with a little help watching tutorials on the internet. For safe travels, bamboo is dried for several months and then treated with insecticide. It takes Nordin about a week to fully assemble the bike with the bamboo and some recycled materials, and he says each design is unique.
We get geometrical diagrams of different types of bikes and different sizes. We normally make mountain bikes, city bikes, and travel bikes, and then we have the road bikes, the racing bikes. So every type of bicycle has different geometry and different sizes.
And as the popularity of his bikes has grown, so has his business. He employs about 20 workers and teaches several young apprentices about the unique specifications of his bicycles. The bikes are sold mostly in Uganda and in parts of East Africa, Europe, and America. The cost is between $350 to $450 each, depending on size and design. And although relatively new, bamboo bikes have been featured in various races across East Africa. Cyclist Amos Nuwagaba competes on one and says bamboo bikes are much more cost-efficient than those with more traditional frames.
I think it's a cheaper option, because if you went through importing a carbon frame, the taxes and the like, you suddenly may buy two of these in a frame.
Nordin hopes to expand his factory and use his bike design to promote ecotourism in Uganda, a country that has been voted as one of the top tourist destinations in Africa. And that's all from me, and that ends the week. I'll have more sporty news for you next week. Back over to you, Sonny. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. And you have a good weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The 123rd running of the Boston Marathon on April 15th will feature 9 previous champions and a lineup stacked with top runners from Kenya and Ethiopia. Boston Marathon organizers announced the elite field for both the men's and women's races. 2-time Boston Marathon champion Lelisa Desisa will race again, along with fellow Ethiopian Lemi Berhanu, who won Boston in 2016. The 2012 Boston champion Wesley Korir of Kenya will also test his speed and endurance in the race. Last year, the runners had a true test from Mother Nature. Cold temperatures and a driving sleet and rain made things miserable for the athletes. A lot of the top runners dropped out. Yes, perhaps the worst weather conditions ever for the famous American Marathon. Defending men's and women's Boston race champions, Yuki Kawauchi of Japan and Desi Linden of the United States will also return to Boston on April 15th. And that wraps up the January 11th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Zubair. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there.
VOA.
On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music.
Wake up, dance this music.
Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This is Science in a Minute.
NASA reports that its Hubble Space Telescope, with help from a natural phenomenon called gravitational lensing, has helped astronomers discover the brightest object in the early universe. Gravitational lensing is like a natural zoom effect that uses enormous galaxy clusters to magnify distant galaxies behind them. The object, located about 12.8 billion light-years away, is a super-bright quasi-stellar object, or quasar, that shines with a light equal to 600 trillion suns. Quasars, considered to be the brightest celestial objects in the universe, are generated when supermassive black holes at the center of galaxies devours material so quickly that a buildup of friction and heat produces powerful beams of light. Scientists say the newly discovered quasar was found at the heart of a young galaxy as it was in the process of forming some 1 billion years after the Big Bang. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, some Africans have concerns that Western versions of democracy are being imposed on the continent. Are democratic governments what's best for Africa? We'll discuss the issue on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African Music Mix on The Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. From the north to the south and from the east to the west, the African Music Mix plays only the best.
Yes, sir. True face. NATO C. Hey.
Tune in at 200, 300, 1200, and 1300 UTC GMT. Every day, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
VOA News.
VOA. When news breaks, VOA News is there.
Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.